Yes, yes. I think we can do better than that as a church because we love these kids. Let's send them off with great blessing. Come on, come on. We can do better than that. Yes. Praise the Lord. I thank God for all the little ones that God has sent us to our church. And as I've said, you will remember me in one of my first sermon when I first came here as a pastor. I said that according to the faithfulness and the size of our heart and love for the children that we have, God will send children to us. Do you remember that? Yes. And God's sending His children. And I pray that God will increase the size of our heart and the love for the little ones. That when God finds us faithful with the kids that we have now, He can say, you know, I can trust Santa Clara First Baptist Church that this is a safe place for any kids to come and explore and discover about their faith. Then He will send it here. Isn't that wonderful? So every time you do something about the kids, I want you to do it with all your heart. And bless them with all your heart. Otherwise, I'm visiting your house. So we are talking about the kingdom of God. And I ask the questions to all of you. Whether you are living for a paycheck or you are living for eternity. Right? Whether you're living for the moment or your investment is for eternity. And there is a great danger. Sometimes when we live for a paycheck, it's for immediate gratification and to satisfy our pleasure for the moment. And we lose sight of our eternity. That's what living for a paycheck is. You know, be happy, be merry, drink. For tomorrow may never come. Just be happy today. Do all that you can. So I want to look at Christ, how He lived here on earth, and what He did. Because we are followers of... Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure because you were like questioning, you know. So we are a follower of?
Jesus.
Oh, yes, I feel better. I'm in the right place. All right, Santa Clara First Baptist, I'm in the right place. Yes, so we want to talk about riches in rags. We talk about people from rags to riches and we glorify them. You know, we make a story about them. We write books about them. We make movies about them. And it was like, wow. You know, what about riches in rags? What about somebody that was so rich and had everything and lived a life of poverty? What about them? Have we ever talked about them? So my wife and I, when we were in Midwest, we knew a couple. Okay? And if you met them on the road, if you sat with them in a restaurant or in a church, you will think like, these guys must be struggling a lot. You know, I should look at the church food pantry and try to give them something. Maybe we should look at a clothes bank, like the San Francisco winter clothes drive, get a nice jacket and a glove and a hat and give it to them. You know, they would appear like that. But they're millionaires. They are millionaires. They are so generous. They are building hospitals and schools in foreign countries. They are giving scholarships to students here in America and sending them to colleges. You will never imagine that they are millionaires. They wear the same shoe and same shirt and pant for the whole year. And one jacket, right? Sometimes when they come to my house for a dinner, I want them to take them to my shower bathroom first, you know. But they put us to shame by the things that they do. Sometimes we look at people, the outward appearance, and we are all so gung-ho about how they look, what they drive, where they live, where they work. But we don't know what's inside. Do you know that your neighbor who drive the fanciest car, live in the fanciest house today, and have the fanciest job, could be one paycheck away from losing everything? You knew that when the dot-com burst, how many people in Santa Clara and Sunnyvale had to give away their house because they were just living paycheck to paycheck. They lost their house because they couldn't pay their mortgage. Where are you investing? That's what I want to ask. And I want to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, my leader, my Savior, whom I follow, that he was totally rich, super, super mega rich. And he lived a life of poverty, from riches to rags. But that did not destroy him. He didn't have to go to counseling. He didn't have to take, you know, some drugs or things like that. Because he was so, his father has forsaken him that he didn't hit to the bottle. He didn't find his peace at the bottom of the bottle. That's what I meant to say. He lived a very good, stable life. And we want to look at that. That we can learn from our master, from our leader, our Savior, who was man, perfect man. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right? So, three important lessons today. Three important lessons from the first line of Jesus' first sermon. This is the first sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ. And don't you think that the first sermon would be very important? I mean, you have been trained for 30 years, and now suddenly Christ is going to speak to the world. Don't you think that the first line would be important? Every time I come to preach on a Sunday morning, I come thinking, Lord, am I going to preach the word of God today? Am I going to please you today? You know, will this word of God make meaning? There is some sense of awe and reverence and trepidation. Every time I come here on Sunday morning, I hope you know that. Well, I'm letting you know, if you didn't know, that I have come with great respect and reverent to this office, to this calling, to say, I want to say your word, then I don't want to add my word on it. So, the first line of our Lord Jesus Christ in his first sermon is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Very important line, and three things I learned from here. One is that there is a reward. You reap the blessings of believing. Okay? From this first sentence. Belief and blessing. Can you say belief? Believe. And blessings? This row one. Right next time when I'm coming to this side, okay? So the second point is, then it's the recognition of our insufficiency and God's sufficiency. This is what I learned from that first line. And the third one is that serving is directly related to reigning with God. We are here to serve. And then you will reign with him if you serve him here. This is what I learned from this one line. So we want to talk about this one line today. Three words and three lessons. Okay? The first word is blessed. The second word is poor. And the third word is the kingdom of God. Kingdom. So these three words we'll learn today. What's the first word again? And the second word? And the third one is? Oh, I love this middle row. Let's give a hand to the middle row. Yes. So do you know the last word? Do you know the last word of God in the Old Testament? Anyone? The last word in the Old Testament, in Malachi 4, verse 6, it ends with the word curse. The last word in the Old Testament ended with the word curse. Now, when the last word was spoken in the Old Testament, then there is called the age of darkness. For how many years? About 400 years, right? 500 is correct. We don't really know. About 400 to 500 years, there was no word from God. So just imagine, the word cursed is hanging over the people for five centuries. Said, I may come to this earth and you will be cursed. Do you think that God forgot that word? No. So when Jesus came and he's going to preach the sermon, do you think he forgot the word in Malachi 4:6? No, he did not. So what was the first word? Blessed. Blessed. He picked the right word, that he has come as a blessing, not as a curse. These are not by, the Bible is not by accident. You know, it's a flow. There's a history. There's progression. There's plan and purpose in the Word of God. So God says, I may come to this earth with a curse. And Christ came and said, blessed. Blessed are the poor. Very, very powerful word. So I want to talk about the blessings and believing. Okay? So we'll look at the blessed. If you have a Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you can use hashtag bless, SCFBC, you know. Let them know that this is a place of blessing, right? So let's look at the environment that Jesus came to preach. Now, at that time, the Jewish people were under the rule of the Romans, okay? Rule of under the Romans. And let's talk about the Romans then. What were the principles, the philosophies that guided these people? Right? So, Aristotle, the philosopher, was saying that what is the highest virtue in life? What is the highest good? What's the greatest good? What is the summum bonum? Right? The summum bonum is the highest good, the greatest good in life. And so he was searching. So people look for money, power, and pleasure in life. Money, power, pleasure in life. What is this for? What is money for? What's power for? What's pleasure for? And he came to the conclusion that they want to be happy. They want money because they want to be happy. They want power because they want to be happy. They want pleasure because they want to be happy. That means happiness is the highest summum bonum, the highest good, the chief of all goods. It's like happy. Do you know the song from Pharrell Williams? Happy. Happiness is, you know, clapping your hand in the room without the roof. You know, happiness is knowing the truth about what happiness. Happiness is. I need the hair. Come on, sing with me, right? Right? I mean, so he talked, and I read the lyrics and said, yeah, he has some truth in here. That if you know the meaning of the real truth of happiness, you will be clapping your hand. But you guys have the meaning of the real truth of happiness, and I would like to see you clap your hand too. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Not because you're on some ecstasy or anything like that, right? Okay. Do we need to do some test here this morning? Right? But you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do a hashtag happy. Come on, right? You are happy. Now, I want to talk about this. So in the Bible, see, the English word, we'll do some word study. That's why I say three words and three meanings, okay? In the English word, it's the English word sometimes take away the true meaning of the Greek word. Right? So, when it was translated in the Bible, Jesus came to speak. The first line is not eulogedo, it's makario, right? It means happy. Makario is happy. But in English word, happy is like less noble than blessed, you know? Happy is kind of worldly. It's like worldly happy, helpless, happiness, good fortune, lucky, whatever. So what do we do? To make it more spiritual, more noble, and to lift up the word to the higher plane, we didn't use the word happy. What did we use? Blessed. Blessed is like, oh, this is so noble. This is so spiritual. Actually, Christ is saying the word, Christ used the word happy. Now, blessed is used when the angels of the Lord came to Zechariah, that word is blessed. When the angel of the Lord come to Mary, he said, blessed are you, Mary. That's blessed. That's not Makario. But Paul wrote about the happiness. You will have the glory, the happy glory of the kingdom of God. Jesus wants us to be happy in his happy word. Okay? Happy are those who are poor. That's the word that he used. But today we're using blessed are those who are poor. Let's go back to Aristotle, how it was there. So he says the highest virtue is happiness. So what does the Greek pursue? They pursue knowledge. Pure knowledge is a virtue, and it brings happiness in life. So this governed the society and the environment at that time. What was the Jewish people looking? They were after the law, right? They want to live according to law. They want to perfect the law. They want to perfect, they want to follow the law so they can be also happy, be blessed. So pure knowledge would bring us blessedness and happiness. If we keep all the law, it will give us happy and blessed. And Christ came in the middle of this and he said, actually, you're going to be happy if you have faith and love. See, the law reveals all the things that we fail, that we cannot live up to. The knowledge, the pursuit of knowledge without faith and love is not going to bring true happiness. And Christ came, understanding of the Roman philosophies, Aristotle, and then Plato later on wrote that Aristotle is the first teacher of tragedy. He was known as the first teacher among the Greek philosophers. His influence is great. He was influencing at that environment. And he spoke in that environment and said, blessed are the poor. Now, the word blessed is not temporal, but it's also an eternal reality. What he's saying is that blessed are you if you know me in this age, in this time, you're blessed. And if you know me now, you're going to be blessed in eternity. So when you go to Revelation chapter 14, what does he say? Blessed are those who have died in the Lord. So this word blessed is not just a word that just came out without thinking. He picked the word blessed, the first word in his sermon, to counter the word curse. Because curses bring death. And Christ is saying, no, I have come to give life. And you are going to be happy if you know me here on earth, and you will be happy hereafter. I bring happiness to you. I'm giving you happiness. So blessed is then transforming hopelessness into happiness. There was no hope. The law cannot give you hope. The law is going to tell you that you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to make it. The law reveals to you that you will never, never make it. Then Christ came and said, you believe in me and you will make it. So, blessed, the word blessed, the word happiness, makario, is a cognition of sin and the comfort of eternal cure. There is an effectual eternal cure in the word blessed. In the word blessed is an eternal effectual cure from sin. That's why he's saying, be happy. Some people will say and go a little further than happy and say the word makario, it means congratulation. Okay? Congratulations, you're poor. Right? You're poor because the kingdom of God is your congratulations. You wanna. It's like you won a lottery or something. Jesus did not come to curse the world, but to cure the world. You will know that by his first word. Blessed. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Right? One word down. It's a word study, right? What do they do with the... If you watch a PBS show, you do a word study of the day, right? What's the word of the day? The word of the day today, the word, three words. Blessed. The second one is the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. So this morning, we woke up getting ready for the church. I have to drop Ray to come here for worship practice early. And we were getting ready. And I turn on the TV. And my daughter is with me and my wife. And suddenly, in the morning TV, the presidential candidates came up regarding debates. And, you know, I think today is going to be a debate, another second debate. And they were talking all those things. And my daughter turned to me and said, do they worship God? You know, right? And so I said, I'm thinking like, what, you know, like, what do you mean? Oh, the presidents, do they pray? Are they praising God? That's what she said. Because she knows, are they praising the Lord? And I'm thinking, oh my. I mean, look at the words they have said. Are they praising God? I mean, what's going to happen? And I said, well, they should be praising the Lord. That's what I told my daughter. And she looked at me and said, they are the president of America. They should praise the Lord. Right? They should be praising the Lord. I am glad she doesn't understand all the things right now that these guys are saying. Oh, God help us. God help me as a father. But you see, the poor in spirits, if you are poor in spirits, the way you say things to others, the way you behave to others, the way you live with others is reflective in how poor your spirit is within you. Okay? And Christ said this, the poor in spirit is recognizing our insufficiency and God's sufficiency. When you are poor in spirit, you are saying, God, I cannot do it on my own. I need your help. I am at my wit's end. I don't know how to be a good follower. I don't know how to be a good wife. I don't know how to be a good husband. I don't know how to be a good human being. I don't know how to be a good doctor, a good teacher, you name it, a good people working, engineer, good nurse. I'm just struggling with my life. I don't know. I need help. I need help, and I want you. That is recognizing our insufficiency and coming to the Lord and say, please help me live the life that you have called. You know, some people are so poor, all they have is money. But that's what we work for every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Saturday, and then sometimes Sunday. You are not at your home. You're not with your wife. You're not with your kids. You're not with your friends. You're not spending time alone by yourself with God because you want money. You want money. And when our life is consumed for living for a paycheck, then we lose sight of our eternity. I was talking to one of our members in the game night, and he is one of the VP in the the tech company, the big tech company. And he managed about 20 or 30 employees. And he mentioned to me that one time we were running short and lacking time, and we were not going to meet our deadline to finish the project. So they decided to come and work Saturday and Sunday, right? Or Saturday and Sunday, weekends. They all came to work. And they tried to finish. You know, people are losing time with their, spending time at home, going to church with their families. And they got it done. And the boss came and said, actually, we're going to extend the project. Right? We're going to extend the project. So he said to me, that it stuck with me, I decided I will never do that again. As a VP, as a manager of 30-odd employees, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to ask my employees to sacrifice Sunday or their families for a project. I will never do that. How did that come about? It's experiencing being poor in the spirit, recognizing that God is more important than a project. That is poor in spirit. That is saying, I cannot act and play the role of a God. I have a God and I want to worship Him. I want to have a Sabbath in my life. What would that Sabbath rest look like? And when you carved out the Sabbath rest in your life, that is recognizing that you need God and you're poor in spirit. The highway to heaven is paved on humility. Did you know that? The highway to heaven is paved on humility. Maybe the highway to hell is paved on pride and self-sufficiency. I wanted to ask the lead singer from AC/DC what was in his mind when he wrote the song Highway to Hell. But it seems like the fast life that we live, the ambition that we have without God, is taking us away from our families, from people that you love, from the church. That sounds like what Jesus said, that enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If your job destroys your relationship with your family, your friends, your husband, your wife, wouldn't that be part of the plan of the enemy? It's because we don't have the poverty of spirit. See, humility creates a hunger for God. You're not going to be hungry for God if you can do it all. Deeper poverty leads to higher dependency on God. How is the depth of your spiritual destitution? How is the depth of your spiritual poverty today? Because I tell you, spiritual destitution is going to lead you to your eternal destination. So humility is exalted in heaven. When you are humble, you are exalted in heaven. First word, blessed. Blessed. Second, poor. We want to go to the third one. Jesus did not come to show off his riches, but to shine light on God's riches. He lived with a rich life in rags. He experienced riches in rags. He experienced riches, abundance in poverty. The third word is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is the relationship of serving God and reigning with God. If you serve God here today, you will reign with Him tomorrow. If you are following God today, you will reign with Him tomorrow. That is where your investment comes. Investing your time, your talent, and your treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. Check those things where you are investing. Are you investing in the kingdom of God? Because how you invest and how you serve with these three things that you have in life, time, talent, treasure, has eternal significant implications. So the reign of God in our heart here and now. The kingdom of God is that God reigns here, now. Here, right now. But it's also a spiritual reality of those who serve God, that the kingdom of God is here. And we know that the kingdom of God, the present conception of the kingdom of God that we have in our heart, will reach one day to a glorious consummation, a future consummation. In fullness, you will experience the kingdom of God. So I want to ask you a question this. You know, do not look for outward display of the kingdom of God. And do not look for supernatural manifestation of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. It is within you already. See, Jesus has brought the kingdom of God upon us. He said, if there is healing, if the demons are driven out, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Didn't Jesus give us grace and save us all from eternal sin and death? Didn't we experience the power and love of God? The kingdom of God has come upon us. He has delivered us from eternal death. Blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because of your humility and your need and destitution, you have cried out to God and said, God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you hang on the cross and crucified. You were buried and you rose again. I believe that you are the Son of God. You have made that confession through the conviction that comes through the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God within you. Let me tell you, the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude, can be summed up in two words, believe and blessed. Two words, believed. All the sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ can be summed up in two words, believe and blessed. Those who believe will be blessed. Those who believe will be given the right to become the child of God. That's the blessing. If you believe, you will be blessed. We got to believe. We got to believe in the message of the kingdom of God. I debated this week. Unreso, as a pastor of this church, do you believe in the power of the kingdom of God? And I was scratching my head a little bit. Do I really believe? Do I understand the power of the kingdom of God? Do I really know what the power of the kingdom of God is? And I said, Lord, help me. I don't know fully the kingdom and the power of God. And he said, you believe. You believe in the power of the kingdom of God and see what God can do. In this church, I'm telling you, in this church, Santa Clara First Baptist Church, what are we about? We are about the mystery of the kingdom of God. We are about the mystery of the relationship between the church and Christ. We will talk about those mystery. We're not one of those cool church here. Right? But we want to be a committed church. As Christ was committed to the church. When young people come in here, when high school comes in here, when middle school, college kids comes in here, they have made a choice to come in this morning in the worship service and say, let's see what the church is going to speak. I want to talk about the mystery of Christ. I want to talk about the mystery of the church, and I want to talk about the mystery of the kingdom of God. I want the young people to know that God is bigger than them. That there's something big out there and they can be a part of that something big. We got to present the bigness, the tallness, the height and the width of God and His kingdom. That's what we're about in this church. Are you with me? Yes? Yes. That's what we want to do. And once they experience it, once they touch it, they will always be hooked there. Because you don't know how Christ reaches young people. You don't know how the Spirit reaches young people. They are here for serious stuff. Church, They are here for serious stuff, and they make a choice to come here. Let us not waste their time for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning here, and trying to attract them and give all the things they may like, you know. Just offer the word of God and Christ and the kingdom. It's the first word that came out of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. Believe. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's his preaching. John the Baptist came. First preaching is on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has such power. Power. We want to experience that power. And Paul said, the gospel did not come with just mere word. It came with the power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. So we want to be known as great in sharing the gospel and the kingdom of God with such power in Santa Clara City. So, if you are praying and looking for a church, looking for a perfect church where you can checklist all your mark, I don't think we're going to make it. Right? I don't think we'll make it. But if you're about sharing the gospel and letting people experience the power of God and welcoming the Spirit of God to transform their life and to be a part of something mysterious, something big, something beyond we can explain, I want to welcome you to this church. We will hold true to that. We will try our best to hold true to that every Sunday, every week when we teach our kids and our youth. We will love them, care for them, and pray to the Holy Spirit to convict them of this wonderful, glorious truth. Then we want to welcome you to be a part. Come, let us spread the hope of the kingdom of God in this city. So let's welcome all the newcomers here, new visitors here today. Let them be blessed. Yes. I'm going to ask all the worship team to come up here, and we're going to sing. And just to get our heart right, the Word of God says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that, church?
Yes.
Do you believe that, church? Are you ready? So, I went to see, and I heard this from a church. Let's get on our feet. Let's get on our feet to get ready to worship. Let me set it up. So, the preacher was coming and saying, hey, if the church got to go, if the church got to get going, because they were all sitting, they say, they got to go to walk. They got to walk. So the church say, okay, we'll go and what? We'll go to walk. Right? If the church got to get going, the church got to get running, not just walking. So some people said, okay, running. Can I hear some running, right? So the pastor said, okay, if the church got to go, no, not just walk, not just run. We got to fly. Can we say fly? Fly, right? And now he's saying, okay. He's really pumped up and saying, if the church got to go, you know, we got to fly loud. And somebody at the back said, pastor, let's just walk. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not grow weary. They shall run and not faint. We're standing strong in the Lord. We come to God. We confessed. We bow before Him this morning and saying, without you, I will fall apart. Without you, I can do nothing. Let's be connected to the vine and bear much fruit.